This is Duel. You're listening to Radio Freak America 20-frickin-9. Alright, this is Duel Parallel, Radio Freak America, 29, almost 30 shows. 30 shows, that's unbelievable. That's over 30 weeks, we missed a couple. How you doing, Rex?
Yeah, pretty good, man.
Good, and we have a special guest this show who's going to talk about a special topic later on. It is Demute, Wintermute.
Yo, yo.
Yo, yo, dog, what's up?
Not much, just in the little hacker bridging over here, you know, going, being on Hacker Mind. Then I decided to come over to RFA because, you know, I got to spread the radio and the hack and love.
That's right, dude. You are all over.
All over.
All right. I want to talk about first our site, oldschoolfreak.com, being down again.
Damn. Good bastard.
Damn. No doubt, man. Apparently they had...
They
migrated their servers, right? They moved over. We got a new IP. They didn't tell me. Apparently they didn't tell a lot of people.
For anyone.
But, yeah, that's right. But they did do something very nice, and that is disclose many, many customers' personal information to me and everybody else that they sent this email to. They basically responded to all of their technical support emails with one message, and they included all of the messages sent to them, which included names, addresses, phone numbers, a password here or there. Unbelievable.
Very stupid.
They screwed up. Very stupid. That was Mensa. That was quality genius there.
Doesn't it go to your least secure of the week?
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much. That is my lack of security award.
Lack of security award. That's what it was.
That's right. Lack of security award goes to our hosting service for that huge blunder. I couldn't believe it.
I saw that on the hack of my board. That is humongous.
Oh, I know. I accidentally posted that. Oh, it's...
And that must have been the clipboard or something.
That's
man.
Right. It must have been a clipboard. I accidentally went Control-B. Exactly.
It's so easy today.
Exactly. Dude, that happens to me all the time.
Man.
That happens to me all the time. So our site's been down, but it's back up now. We've got some good stuff on there. Art from Racks. We've got a nice sticker page up with a tally. Did you send in your... are you getting some stickers, Mute?
Yeah, I'm just... Let me just... Maybe other people out there have a question. Should we make the check, actually the money order out to cash, so you guys can cash it?
Just leave it blank.
Leave it blank?
Yeah.
They'd probably put that up on the page there, too.
Yeah, maybe I will. And if you send cash, you know, like Rex said earlier, wrap it in a piece of paper, you know, fold up a piece of paper in three and send that. And like I said, on the site, we will not keep records of anything. Everything will be destroyed. I'll send the shit to you and get rid of everything else. So
there we go. That's a good deal. Good deal.
Yeah, don't worry about your personal information.
No checks, no credit cards, no PayPal, no nothing with identifying labels.
That's right. No barter system.
Put on rubber gloves when you put the money in the thing and all, so no one can pick up any fingerprint. Nah,
that's right.
On that.
That's a little current. Now, not only were we down, but apparently Slingshot is down. I don't know if they're down for good. Rax, I think you know a lot more about this.
Yeah, Slingshot apparently was, go figure, you know, another .com with a failed business model. But Slingshot had a problem a while back. We talked about that when their 800 number went down and everything all went down. Well, this went down as of, must have been about 2 weeks ago. I'm just trying to bring it up here. And they had a message on their site dated late last week. It says Slingshot isn't, dated September 12th, Slingshot is in the process of selling our assets to new management. The new management desires to restore the service as soon as possible, and we're working to have the service up within the next couple of days. So they're selling things off, but the good news is that the people who are buying the stuff want to keep running the service as well. So let's hope they do the same kind of thing. What made it so cool for hackers and freakers and lions and tigers and bears out there is that they had no credit card information on you. They had nothing to identify who you were. So you could work with complete anonymity because you bought the CD, you know, at some store. You buy the refill minutes at some store. You pay cash or you pay however. And Slingshot never knows who you are. So let's cross our fingers, and we'll keep you updated on that.
That's right. Pay cash, by the way. Well, yeah. There is another one. And actually, Rex, you gave this to me. Sprint prepaid internet account. Where did you get this?
Get that at Circle K. On the way down to the 2600 meeting.
Yeah,
time.
Actually, and here it says, your recharge pin is printed on the back of the 7-Eleven Connections card.
Mm-hmm.
Sprint, and you can go to sprintprepaidinternet.com. Have you ever used it, Rax?
No, I have not.
Okay, well, there's another, if you don't get Slingshot, since it is down, then you can try out this Sprint prepaid internet. Oh, here it is. $10, 500 local access minutes. That's your exchange or local exchange. 125 toll-free access minutes. Is that sounds...
About the same price that Slingshot
was. I was going to say, it sounds very, very similar. Maybe it's the same place.
Oh, and Sprint will probably be around. It'll be interesting to see. I think I'll check it out and report back next week, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, if they need credit card numbers and all that other kinds of stuff. So I'll check that out, and I'll let everyone know about that next week.
Very good. Now, oh man, I almost forgot, and I want to pimp this now, you know, to build up the excitement. You know, we've got Wintermute, we've got special topics. I am going to, again, I am going to give to the listeners. Nothing means more to me than giving myself, my soul, to the listeners. And I'm going to give something to the listeners to aid them with their freaking at the end of the show.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, anybody can use it. So remind me, don't let me forget. Now, we talked about everything being down, Slingshot, us, oldschoolfreak.com. The first time we were down from those bastards to free servers, well, I guess we had hacking stuff, whatever, we lost episode 24. I don't have it. I've got everything but Rax doesn't have it.
So I can't buy hard drive. I don't have it.
You don't have it? Okay, well, whoever has it, if anybody has it, let me know. Send an email to duel@oldschoolfreak.com or rax@oldschoolfreak.com. We'd really like to get it. We wouldn't like that to be the real lost episode.
Send us an email. Don't just send the thing off in case there's a lot of people doing it. So
yeah.
Just send us an email first, and then we'll get back to you.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Send an email, and we'll work out how to get it.
Yeah.
But if you do, please let us know, because I'd like to have a complete archive. There's a couple things. We're down, you know. We were down. Slingshot was down. But you know what? There's a lot of places coming back up. Or coming up for the first time, I should say. And one of them is Stank Dog. He's lurking on that HackerMind message board. He's been published a couple times in 2600. Well, he's got a new site, stankdog.com, stankdawg.com. He's got some good forums. His forums are going to be a little more specialized. It's going to be a centralized location for hackers to collaborate on projects, totally legal projects, mind you. So check out his site. I don't think there's much up at the forums, but definitely a place to go if you want to work with people around the world on your projects. There's another site, rootsecure.net, and that's in the UK, one of our international listeners, and that's a really cool site. It's a fun site, for one thing, and not to mention he encourages you to fuck around on the site, so go there, check stuff out, and do whatever you want. He knows his shit, so I don't think he has to worry about anything. So check out stankdog.com and rootsecure.net. .net, I hope it's .net. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. Okay, cool. Yeah, you've been there, haven't you?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, speaking of you, Mute, you are the special guest. We're taking up all the time here, talking about a bunch of crap. I want to hear about this special topic that you have tonight. Well, first I have to say, both of us are hams. We both have our technician's license. And we realize, and I, you know what, I think this is a good time for us to stress this to the listeners. Hams, okay, granted, they are a bunch of old white guys, but they know their shit. These guys are elite hackers. Before, you know, the PCs were around, these guys were hacking with this stuff, you know, for a long time, inventing stuff, creating things, you know, learning and sharing. Well, it sounds like a hacker to me. Do you agree, Mute?
Oh, most definitely. You know, I mean, you read these books, Hacker Culture, Hacker Crackdown, you see all these old guys, MIT, 60s, 70s, they're building the shit you're using today.
That's right.
They were making computers before you were born, for half these guys out here right now, before me.
Yeah. You know, when I go to, like, HampFest and stuff, I don't know if you've ever been to HampFest, have you?
I've been to the, I got to go to those, you know, I'm going to, Michael be going to one this weekend, perhaps.
Ooh.
So.
I'm jealous.
Bust out some, the radio stuff, you know, it says HamFest, but it is like the garage sale.
It's like computer swap meet meets garage sale meets electronic surplus. It's awesome.
Exactly. Mil-spec parts. I mean, that is one of the big things there. Everything's, a lot of stuff is mil-spec, a lot of it's radios. I mean, it runs the whole gamut.
That's
over
right.
There at those places.
Old manuals, anything you can think of. Anything you can think of. And plus, the added bonus, the greatest benefit, is all those old guys strolling around just dying to share what's in their heads, man.
Yeah, exactly. I got a friend. Well, I don't have a friend. We met up with him last December. He's we found out who he is. My dad's helped him out a lot. My dad is he helps run the town I live in, and we found this guy. This guy has like masters in electronics, everything. Vice president of the ham radio club that I go to, he's amazing. He is like the genius of electronics.
Yeah, it amazes me. So if you meet any guys like that, just like me talking about, if you meet a guy like that, take advantage of it, man. Ask him questions. You know, get him to just dump everything in his noodle onto you, man, and just, you know, and absorb it.
Exactly.
Learn about radios, electronics, all this stuff, you know, that, like Mute said, that everything we screw around with is based on.
You have whatever, a lot of the stuff you use today to take for granted, they made. They were, like, sitting down, like, typing away, soldering.
Oh, shit, soldering like mad.
Soldering. Soldering. No, none of the kids today touch soldering because, like, they got their keyboard, they got their code. No, you got to get down on the bench with a 40-watt soldering iron, some flux, some solder and bust out something.
That's right, and suck up those fumes, baby.
Exactly. You gotta love the smell of solder in the morning. You gotta love it.
That's right. I know I've made a few bad joints in my time.
Exactly.
You know, soldering joints,
but then after you practice a little, you learn the trick. You do the tricks of the trade. You
That's
pick
right.
it up, and it's like one of the most important skills you can have because you can bust out electronics.
Not to mention, it's fun.
Exactly. I mean, I'm building right now, as I said before, getting a shitty tone dialer, looking around for the one with the memory. I already figured out a way. I haven't got the tone dialer yet, but I think I have a way to reproduce the notorious red box tones without the use of memory.
That's right.
But, you know, I mean, electronics, you think about it, you see something you like, you see something you want to do, you can usually probably figure out a way to fix it.
That's right. I recommend, whether you're a beginner or not, I recommend a magazine called Nuts and Volts with a V.
Oh, yes. It's really, very good stuff.
Yeah, really good magazine. I used to subscribe. I think I'll renew it now just from this conversation. And check that stuff out, you know?
Yeah, every magazine, it's humongous. It's like a paper trade back.
Yeah.
Whatever that's called.
It's huge. It's like a trade magazine. It's giant.
Exactly. It's like a billboard. Like, have you ever seen, like, the Billboard magazine? Where they have the Billboard 200 of all the rock and roll stars, is right there. And they have beginner stuff, they have medium stuff, they have advanced stuff.
And they have robotics, computers, they got lots of stuff in there.
And the other good magazine to get for electronics, Poptronics.
Yeah.
Guys bust out some great stuff. And the issue I just got, you know, theremins, those tools, you know, those they produce really wacky sounds, they get instructions for those in there. They got so much stuff.
Dude, I'm heading to the bookstore after the show. There's no doubt. Okay, let's get to your special topic.
All right.
Like I said, we're both hams. You're not going to get our call signs. And, by the way, Mute, if you have to, you know, yell at your call sign, I'll edit that.
Of course, I always expect so. Yeah.
Okay,
that's cool.
So we're both hams. We both have our technician license, which is pretty easy to get. You don't have to know Morse code. I think there's like a 5-word-per-minute upgrade.
Yeah, that's for your general. There's 3 ranks: tech, general, and amateur extra. Tech gets you basically everything. I mean, that's like the biggest one. Because you get a lot. You get from transmitting at 50 megahertz up. Now, after you learn it a little bit, you understand that everything below that's pretty important, which I have a temporary solution, which I'm going to show everyone right now in a few minutes. But it's like 10 or 15 bucks for the test, a book. You can go pick up Radio Shack, look in the electronics section for technician's test exam, read that book, look around, search for a ham radio in your neighborhood, and then find when they take a test. It's called VE testing, voluntary examination testing. Take that test. Usually, you can get a radio very cheap today, mm-hmm. and then just start learning this stuff. Go to the meetings. You'll pick up so much.
Yeah, I've got a ham club that meets in my town the first Saturday of every month. And I'm holding in my hand, actually, right now. That's probably bad radio, but amateur radio technician class, become a licensed ham without knowing Morse code, by Gordon West. And again, this is from Radio Shack, and I think it was like 10 bucks.
Yeah, I got one called Now You're Talking, which is a bigger one that they have over there. That sometimes they're over there, sometimes you can get them at ham radio fests. It's really in-depth. I only read about half the book. I was able to pass the test with about six wrong.
Yeah, I just went through the questions once and passed, so it's not that difficult. I'm sure all these hackers out there could get their license very, very easy.
Yeah.
And it's for me, it was a great feeling of accomplishment.
Yeah.
It was.
I took it twice. The first time I failed because I didn't study at all. And, of course, not studying at all for this thing is wrong. It's not like a simple test where you can just walk in there with common sense. A lot of it is electronics. There are band plans on there. I don't know if you probably ran into those on the test.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not just like walking in there, paying your $10, and busting on the test. There is studying to do. If you give the book a week or two, reading it maybe if you have to, reading it twice, you can go there, get a perfect score, or maybe only a couple wrong.
Yeah, and like I said, it's a great feeling of accomplishment. Rax, you ever mess around with ham radios?
No, that's something I never really got my juices going on that. You know, you're into the phone stuff and that. You know, that was a couple of things that I've really done. Although I've seen, you know, a lot of computer swap meets and stuff. They've been, you know, people walk around. There's lots of gear there. So if there's not even a ham, I was just thinking about this, if there's not a ham swap meet in your area, check out the computer swap meets and that, too, because they, you know, these things cross boundaries all the time.
Very good point. Very good point. Okay, again, we get away from the special topic.
Okay, I'll just bust right into this right now.
Go for it.
All right, as I said before, now having a 50 megahertz up tech license prevents you from going lower. When you go lower, your signal goes farther through some crazy radio propagation, which means how far the signals go. You go lower, you go around to 10 megahertz. I'm not totally sure about this kind of stuff. You go lower than that, you can start bouncing stuff off of the ionosphere. Go read about it. It's really cool stuff. Ducting. Very, very wacky stuff. I mean, certain types of countries, you know. If you get into ham radio stuff, it's called DXing. Great stuff. Problem is, with the tech, you can't touch any of it. We have the site, www.irlp.net. It's called the Internet Radio Linking Project. I heard about this. If Duel might know about a thing called Hamfest Field Day.
Uh-huh.
Have you heard of that, Rex, or Duel?
I think so.
That's a day where hams around the world for 24 hours compete to get the most stations called.
Signals, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. This is where I found out about it, IRLP, Internet Radio Linking Project.net, IRLP.net. They link repeaters, so radio repeaters. So I'll give a little beep of what a radio repeater sounds like. Maybe we can get some Morse out of this thing. That was a repeater I just keyed up. I hit the talk button. That beep was the courtesy beep of the repeater calling back. Now that repeater is a box with a radio and actually a computer at the other end. That computer controls auto patch. That's auto patching is where they patch the phone line, all that cool stuff. Well, these guys developed linking radios over the internet with voice over IP. What a cool idea. It's like a picking up a voice over IP and calling someone. So, busting out on most radios, not yours, Rex, because you got a cheaper one that doesn't have DTMF on it.
You mean dual.
A dual.
Yeah.
Right. Whatever. All right. So, yeah, dual doesn't have that. It's a smaller one. Mine does. Mine has DTMF buttons and ABCD as well on it, and that's for doing auto patch. But it also now, they've been able to do IRLP. So by putting in the three-digit node number, which would correspond to a repeater around the world, and pushing 1 to turn it on, and then 0. So I'll give you an example. 319 is the node in Hollywood, and pushing 0 well on it would activate the link, and pushing 1 on it would disconnect the link. And in some of them, they're manually configured to be other digits, which don't really apply right now. So I want to show people what we can do with this thing. So right now, I'm going to call up, put the phone on my side. I was going to say,
you know what? Here's a tip. Maybe it'll save me some editing too. When you use your call sign, go ahead and move the phone away from you.
Okay.
We can handle that little bit of silence.
Okay. And just cover up the mouthpiece. Or something. Well, I got a mute button, so I'll just click that.
Okay.
How fitting. Mute. Okay. Well, here we go. Ready? Listening. I'm going to make a IRLP contact with node 319, Hollywood, California. Now I'm going to put the DTMF over.
From the entertainment capital of the world, Hollywood, California, this is node 319.
Hell yeah, dude! That was awesome.
Now the repeater that I'm on is connected to node 319, Hollywood, California. Now I can start talking to people, but more chances than that, no one's going to respond. So now I'm going to close the link.
Goodbye from Hollywood, California, node 319.
And that, my friends, is an IRLP contact.
That is the coolest shit ever.
And normally, that would be like a, talk to someone, you know, my friend, whoever. I haven't really talked to anyone. I've heard people. The thing is, along with VoIP, there's a lot of delay because of internet congestion. When I've heard people on this, it's been about the keying of my, well, there's about 3 or 4 second delay, I can say, unless you're really close, so it'll only be about a second. That's the other thing. The cool thing is, this is in America. This is all over the world because ham radio is all over the world. Now, I don't know any specific codes that would take a little while for me to run up and get one. So, we'll do a random. All right, so one of you give me a three-digit number.
666.
All right, I've asked two other people this, and they always say 666. I can show.
All right, fine, 669.
We'll have some fun with this. We'll put in 666.
All right.
It happens.
The node you are trying to call does not exist. Please check the code and try again.
Who's going to do from the torture and damnation center of the universe? You've reached node 666. This is hell.
This is hell. This is Satan speaking. Now, who gives those error messages? Where do those error messages come from?
All right, let me give you some background on IRLP. IRLP would run off a computer hooked up through the repeater.
What kind of repeater?
The push-to-talk lines, which would be like the equivalent of the button on the side. A bunch of other cool stuff that I'm learning right now because we're actually setting up one for my radio club. This is off another public one. And the computer's a Linux box.
Okay.
They have their own, they were using 6.2 or 3, but they have upgraded already.
Red Hat?
Like the third revision, they're pretty high up. This has been going on for a little while. Then like the third revision of their PC board, and then on the computer itself, the IRLP software runs. I'm still reading up on this kind of stuff. But you put in whatever you want. They give you a guideline, and you can record whatever the hell you want. You can record, this is node whatever, and whatever. You can confuse people if you wanted to, because it's your own sound files. They just have to be noted as a certain name, like node respond, node end, node close, stuff like that.
It runs on a Linux box, Red Hat Linux 6.2, is that correct?
That's what they recommend. We've upgraded to 7.3 for ours.
Okay, now you have set it up or you have not?
Not totally. We haven't. The thing is that they didn't give specific instructions on setting. I think the other disk that they gave us was like auto run did everything. This one doesn't, so I'm still messing, still tinkering with it. But after it does, I'll get that set up. But yeah, it's software that runs in the background and then waits for the DTMF to come over and then connects.
Okay, is it GPL? Is this open source? Do you have to pay for it?
I believe this is totally private because you have to pay the money for the card. So it's pretty, it's really locked down right now.
Well, but the card itself, you know, I mean, there's physical cost for hardware.
Yeah.
As opposed to, you know, like development cost for software.
Mm-hmm. The board, I believe, is like $80-$85.
That's not bad.
Yeah. No. And then the software, I have not seen anything, so I don't want to start spreading this stuff around. So I'm going to keep it on the computer. That was the repeater calling back with its call sign. I don't know the Morse code for that, but I would believe it's the call sign for that repeater, which is some variation with a 9 in it for my designation, but that's just it calling. So
that's cool.
Don't worry about that, but continue.
That is amazing, amazing technology. That is so amazing. I think I had a dual band rig before, Radio Shack, little handheld, and boy, I couldn't hit the closest repeater in my town. It was, I don't know if it was a piece of junk, if I was doing something wrong. So I returned it, and then I bought a 440, a 70 centimeter rig that I'm really happy with. I get the repeater right by my house all the time. It works really well. But again, it doesn't have DTMF. I want to buy one with DTMF just for this. This sounds like so much fun.
Well, you can just key it up and then use a tone dialer and key up the DTMF.
Hey, that's a great idea.
Simplest thing to do, really. It means after you're telling me you have stacks and stacks of tone dialers.
Yeah, I I do have a lot of tone dialers.
Use these tone dialers, please. All you got to do is hold up to the radio, and then as I looked on your map here, New Mexico, the dead zone for IRLP.
I figured.
Yeah, so if you went over to Arizona, it would be your best bet.
Yeah.
Can't you set up and start to be the first thing there or something?
Well, he could try. He can say, you know, I got Linux experience, which Duel has more than I do, and then say, so, you know, we heard about this IRLP thing, you know, over in New Mexico. They might not know about it. You might have to explain it to them first.
Right.
Then tell them the only requirement is something better than DSL at the site. Problem is with these sites, they're usually on top of water towers, hard to get up.
Yeah, out here, they're on top of mountains, so.
Top of mountains, so yeah, it's basically SOL. For those. Ours is on top of a school, and we're contracting them to let us siphon some of their T1.
Really? Are they charging you for it?
We don't know yet. We're still in negotiation. I'm not on that side of it. I'm on the technical side. A board member is talking to them presently about his friends over at the school that are going to, we're most likely going to get it. I mean, 99.9% chance.
I really, really want you to keep us in the community updated on IRLP.
Yeah.
You know, if you could write something, that'd be phenomenal.
I think, you know, I might have to go back down to the old hacker mind, you know, giving them a story for frequency. So.
Yeah, dude.
If you read when Freak 24 comes out, I submitted the one night very late, I was decoding POTSAG, which is another cool radio thing to decode pagers, alphanumeric pagers, and they gave Screamer about a 500 kilobyte file, and he's making that. And, Freak 24 submission, so you'll see that.
Yeah, right on. I'm glad. Is this your first article getting published?
That is officially my first article.
Congratulations.
First non-typed article, I mean. My first article will be this IRLP thing. See how that goes.
Congratulations. You know, it's a great feeling, first of all, to get published. And something as cool as this IRLP, definitely needs to be published. Can we hear another one?
Okay, give me another, not obvious numbers, not perfect.
What was the last one you chose? 319 or something like that?
9, do something around the 6 of this. Give me something just way off, just any number.
547.
Huh? 512. 512, all right, let's keep this up. Now, if some guy comes over and says, give me your call sign, I'm going to have to turn this radio off.
Yeah, that's fine.
I don't want to piss this guy off, but here we go. All
right. All
right, I'm gonna turn the phone, turn this away again.
Okay. Initiating IRLP contact with node 519.
All right, here we go.
Note number 519.
All right, now normally it should give me some identification of where this thing is, but we'll make this interesting. We don't know where this thing is. Maybe it sounded pretty good, so maybe it's probably in the United States, but I'll make a call, see if anyone's listening.
Calling anyone that is on the repeater.
silence right now, so I'm not totally sure what this is. Normally they would give some, like Hollywood, that was a famous place, they recorded something special for it. Usually you get something like where it is.
Right.
And around we didn't, so I'll try another one. Okay, I actually said 512, but give that
oh,
a shot. I got confused with last time.
And also, I also heard your call sign, so I don't know what you were doing the first time, but do that again.
Okay.
All right.
All right, yeah, I hit the mute button. It's kind of hard. Yeah, you just probably have to edit it up.
I'll edit that, but next time use your mute button.
Okay.
Mute.
All right, I'm going to close this link. Now, that time I used 7-3, which is the ham radio thing for saying goodbye over Morse. For this repeater, it's special that you can do 73. All right, so 512?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do 512. Half a meg.
I knew it. Didn't get anything that time, apparently. Half a meg.
Yeah.
Meg number 5-1-2. Link on.
Yeah, again, they put the
on. What was that last word it said?
On. Link on.
Oh, on. Link on. Okay.
On.
Now, go ahead and close that link. Mute, and then if you could, I'd like you to tell the listener, go through it again slowly, how you establish a link and close a link slowly for the listeners.
Okay, so I'll go through this not without keying up. Do you want me to be, that would be giving my call sign. I'll just go through it without keying up.
All right.
First, on ham radio, you guys have to say your call sign before you start anything. That's FCC regulation,
right.
Being nice, everything like that. So if you're saying your call sign, you would say, well, that's when I hit the mute button, you say, this is whoever with some... With your call sign, it's some numbers. It's a number and a bunch of letters. It has order in it. And then you say and call sign is initiating a link with node, whatever. That's it. Now I turn it off. Wait a few seconds. If anyone's pissed about me doing this link, they tell me that right then and right now. If no one is, I push the talk button again, put the DTMF over. Now, right now, the nodes are only in the three-digit nodes right now. Some are fours, those are coming up. Fours are also reflectors. Another thing to mention, getting into that, reflectors are allowed up to six nodes connected to it at once. Right now, it's only point-to-point, like a phone call. That's why I was interested about this, because it's basically phone calls. Now, associate reflectors with loops or conference lines, basically. And then that is... There's nets, which are basically roundtable discussions, which are done. And so getting back to what we do with the RLP is, after doing the three-digit link plus one, which is the standard initiate link, doing that again after you're done, the node number plus... Let me rephrase. The node number plus zero initiates the link. The node number plus one closes the link.
Okay, now you have to be transmitting... to a repeater with that box to get to another repeater. Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
Now, that's usually... At RLP.net, they have an active node list and a map, which you can click on your continent, wherever's listening, can click on your continent, and then zoom in, and then basically there's only a few states with nothing, like New Mexico, for example.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But, some of them, just black holes for RLP, some countries are black holes for RLP because they haven't reached there yet, or they don't want to, or haven't heard about it. It's popular in England, haven't connected them yet. It's popular in Swedes. Everywhere across the United States, there's multiples around metropolitan areas. There's some in Canada I've seen, there's some in South America, some in Tokyo. Problem is, the farther out you get, the worse your connection is, you're going to time out. That's the one problem that I've had when calling Europe. I've tried that a couple times before. I called England, I called London a couple times. It gives about a minute, and then it says the link is timed out. Then
a minute.
You're not going to connect to them. So that's the other problem. Net congestion is also a big issue.
I want to call England bad. I mean, I want you to call England.
Okay.
Can we try that?
Yes, I'm going to put you on hold.
I got another question. What band are you on?
440.
Okay.
Right on two. What I have right now is an ICOM T7H modified, and then I used to have a 2 meter, and then that was pretty cool. But I need the upgrade. I need the 440 love, because the only one that does it around here is IRLP around here is 440.
So what other bands does IRLP use?
All right, you got on the map I've looked at, it does a 2 meter, which is that's the Morse code again, and then it does the 2 meter. You can do the 220. You can do the 440. 2 meters are about 140.
Right,
144 megahertz, 148, around there somewhere. Those are the three main. These are the three main VHF frequencies.
Okay. Yeah. Go ahead and put us on hold, and let's try to get England.
Yeah, I'll run. We'll go to England. Yeah, and that condition shouldn't be that bad tonight. So, put you on hold. You just chill.
All right.
One moment, please.
All right. One moment, please.
Like an operator.
That's right. Very good, mute. Dude, this is exciting me to no end. I busted out my Alinco. You know what? Let me turn mine on. I've got an Alinco DJS-41 at 70 centimeters. It's just the 440 band. Oh, somebody's on the net.
That's just the way it goes. I've been that dead, Michael. It's just idle. Every time I come through there, I can raise somebody. True, but then you don't spend your entire time if you're not on the road listening to what's going on.
Okay, I better stop that, because I have no idea how that sounds recording. I haven't sound checked it. That's the repeater. That's my local repeater, the 440 band. And I love this little Linco. It's small. It's basically pocket-sized. I've got an external mic. So I can clip it onto my belt, you know, and then walk around and talk it like a little walkie-talkie. You can even clip it on your shirt. It's really nice. And I got this, like Mute said, I got this dirt cheap. I got it for like $40-45 at a little ham fest by my house. And then the old guys, I was so excited. I said, yeah, it's my first ham radio. It really was my first working, you know, ham rig. And they were so excited for me, they threw in the microphone for free. So, you know, these guys are great. Yeah, it's not even a scene. It's just these guys sharing everything and, you know, bullshitting and swapping technology stories. It's so much fun. If you haven't gotten in the ham scene, I highly, highly recommend it.
Talking about the fest?
Hey, what's up? Yeah, I was talking about my radio. I actually keyed to my repeater and let people listen to some other hams on the net here.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Let me go to my local one. And no one's active right now.
I can't believe somebody's on right now. Usually it's like early. These old guys are on early in the morning usually.
Well, you get these guys going on really late too. These guys are real hackers. They like sit 1-2 o'clock in the morning. Like the real late ones stay up because they can hit the guys in Europe with a big time delay.
Right. Those guys on the HF band, you know, they got the...
like tweaking that thing like... just getting that like mysterious coming out of nowhere signal.
Yeah.
Exactly, and the Morse code, oh my god, you can go around the world with Morse code.
Big time.
EME, Earth, Moon, Earth Bounce.
Yes, off a satellite.
You're doing a satellite, pointing like a little equivalent of a Pringles can, a directional antenna, and a satellite, following that satellite, talking to people all over the world, doing a Moon Bounce, doing a bunch of stuff to point at the Moon, talking to shuttles, space shuttles going above, like they're probably going to do some cool stuff with the International Space Station.
Yeah, cool, that is going to be exciting.
I have your Rex, it's very, very close to the last one. This London, England is 560. Oh, cool.
Right.
So, I guess 560 next time. All right, I'm going to mute it and then hit this up.
This weird whine.
Some kind of noise in the background.
Yeah.
All right, now I'm going to establish the link.
You are currently connected to.
Whoops, I forgot to close the other connection.
Yeah.
of throwing me off, so I'll just do it again.
All right.
You are currently connected to.
Okay, you got to break that one down, apparently.
What the fuck? All right, that's pretty bad. That's pretty bad. All right, I'm going to try this again. All right, I don't know what's exactly going on here. It's a little scary.
Did you break down that previous connection?
I'm hitting the off code. But I'll try again. We tried the alternate code you had.
You are currently connected to.
All right, that's weird. Huh. Oh, I know what you're saying. You are currently connected to. To what? Oh, wait.
Five.
All right, now I added.
Two.
Okay, I thought they were saying you're currently connected to, as in someone called up that repeater. Mm. But no, it was me. No one's up this late calling it. All right, here we go. Here we go again with London, England. So we're going to be maybe about 4 in the morning there or something, Bill?
Couldn't tell you.
Note called is not responding.
Sometimes they're down. That's the problem.
Well, that's a fast response, though.
Yeah, that was pretty good, though. Yeah, I think they actually have a... I think the software runs with, I think, a central database. It first clears that, and then if it doesn't come in there, if it says, like, on or off there, because I think a central database will query all of them at a certain time, I would think, seeing if they're on or off, and then the repeater would first check that, and if it's on, then it would go for the link. I'm not sure. That's a guess. That would seem like the most efficient way.
Where's this central database, do you know?
The package that the board came with was in Canada, I believe.
So Canada has this, like, DNS server of...
Would most likely think
boxes.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Because they support, because a lot of people would be using some type of dynamic IP, so they're probably doing host names.
Okay.
With the IP addresses.
Really? Okay, now... I hope I'm not bringing up anything bad here, but what's the security like on these IRLP boxes?
Well, it's anything with radio. I mean, it's open, of course. The other thing that's on radios that associated with this is AutoPatch, which AutoPatches the, which is phone line if there's emergency, and usually that's pretty secure on BC. You don't want people prank calling over the AutoPatch,
right?
For obvious reasons.
So people, don't go owning these Red Hat 6.2 IRLP boxes, please. I mean,
I don't know what the host name's going to be on this one. I don't know. I think it's because this is going to be behind a router. So I'm not totally sure. I mean, if you're talking about... I mean, the security with the repeater is whatever it is, but the security with the box, I'm not sure. If you go find scan, I don't know what the port this is going to work on yet because it didn't say in the documentation. I don't think they want to confuse people. But if I do find what... it's probably going to have to tell me what the open port is, and I'm not going to give that out because I don't want people trying to give them these things.
Right.
This is way too valuable of a resource, but I mean... This is something over 1024, I'd most likely say, and I don't know what it is right now, but I don't even know what it's going to look like if you scan it, but it's going to be a Linux box, that's all I know. But it's going to be like any other Linux box, but these are going to be set up by either people like me or people that know Linux better that would probably be putting these behind some type of firewalling or port filtering, so I don't know. It's like just a normal computer.
I bet you're going to learn a lot about Linux setting this up.
I think so too. So yeah, I'm going to have to. But it's also going to be behind some a T1 with some. It's going to be behind a school too. So I mean, I think it'd be fairly.
Oh, no.
Can't say everything. But they're going to have to open up the port on the router.
Right.
I know that.
Right.
For sure.
That is just the coolest shit ever.
Yeah.
You know, this is like, it has rekindled my love, the excitement I've had for a ham radio, for amateur radio communications.
Exactly. It's going to be, when they get the note up here, I can sit in my room. Here's the funny story I was going to tell you guys before. I was going to do this from my room originally. The problem is, it's really hard to hit the repeater that I'm talking to from in my room. It's like, my room is like a dead zone for radio. A dead zone is like a tin can. I mean,
with like anything to do with that Faraday cage they built into the walls, huh?
That's right.
Oh.
The aluminum foil suit you wear.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no, it's the real thing is I can hit anything else but that. It's really weird. Sometimes it comes in, sometimes it doesn't. We don't know. We're not totally sure.
So I had the bright idea of stringing my mag mount scanner antenna over a tree. So I like have to take open the window, take the screen out. It's hot. It's out here. Like run twine over a branch. Just to give an example, I mean, ham radio guys, they're pretty obsessive about putting these antennas up.
Oh, man.
Oh, yes. These guys are badass at these antennas. So, you know, I'm hooking this thing up. I put it over. Still don't get it. The antenna's way outside. I still don't pick it up. So I set up my stuff outside. After all that work of stringing this thing outside, still don't get it. So I'm out here.
Well, we appreciate it.
Yeah.
We definitely appreciate it.
Yeah, so, I mean, it was pretty funny. I mean, it's me running around, throwing twine over a branch, tying this mag mount antenna that's actually clipped to the bottom of a, you know, the rocket launch pads? Those rockets, that metal. I put it on there. I put it there first so it has like a flat bottom, and then strung it up. And it's probably pretty good antenna if it's out there. It's weatherproof too, so it'd be pretty interesting. But then I can't close the window, hence it's hot. And bugs get in, so just close it all up.
I wish we had video of that. That'd be great.
Yeah, I was going to take a picture of myself, but it wasn't bad. It was pretty funny nonetheless.
Hey, let's hit one more.
Okay.
Before we leave this topic. How about 555?
Huh?
555.
Wait, what was it?
555.
555, okay. That's probably... all right, we'll make any assumptions. We'll just see what happens. Muting.
That's why they call them winter mute, even though it's still summer.
What was that, Rex?
Here.
Are you there?
Yeah.
The note you called is disabled.
Oh!
Hey.
Yeah. Disabled.
Hey, so it is an existing node, but it is not. It's disabled, meaning it's working but shut off.
Yes, maybe some elite hackers got into it.
That's right.
Yeah.
Cracking that Red Hat box.
Open that Red Hat box like the soft, chewy center, maybe, perhaps.
That's right. I picked a winner, apparently. Dude, this is so freaking cool, man.
Yeah, no, I'll give a... When I do the article, I'll put up all the different names of the different... the different error codes, because I bet this is just as numerous as the phone system.
Codes. Yeah, if you could record those, too, that'd be great.
I can make a whole compilation of different, like, node is dead. It'd be pretty funny.
Yeah, node is disabled.
This node has been owned, or something. I'll do something really
cool. Yeah, do something cool for yours.
Yeah.
I would definitely put those up on oldschoolfreak.com.
Yeah. All right.
And your article, too.
I'll put the default ones up, or something. Yeah, I'll put all the default ones I got. I'll put those up. I'll make one big file.
Okay.
Big MP3.
Right on.
Exactly.
Right on. Well, they're going to be on this show, too.
Yeah.
That is the coolest shit ever.
Listen,
so if this...
It's like attacking my window.
What?
It's like attacking this... We have glass doors.
Right.
I mean, not glass. It's big panel glass. It's like the moth is running into the glass. It's really sad.
Suicidal.
Yeah, I know. It's like bad. Like these
bad
times. Big windows. They think it's like so clean.
Bad times.
Boom. That's your skull.
That's right. Bad times.
Yeah.
Hey, now if this doesn't get all you hackers and freaks excited about ham radio, about RF technology,
fucking hacker, that's what it is.
Yeah, dude, I don't know what else would, man. This is the coolest freaking shit.
Exactly. I mean, it's like I equivocate to HF for the VHF, basically, because you can do. I mean, limiting the repeaters in your area and net congestion. It is. You can go anywhere with this thing. It's like I wanted to be on RFA because it's like radio. And it's actually about freaking, too, because it's basically the new phone system, you can almost say.
Yeah.
It's like a phone system above it all, so.
That's right. What do you think cell phones are, man? Those are just two-way radios.
Exactly.
And a bunch of repeaters.
Yeah. They're basically the exact thing.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. That's it. All right, well, listeners, take this. This is a great show, by the way, dude. This is so much fun for me. I'm so glad.
I want to give it one. I'm going to give this. We're going to do one more.
Yeah, please.
All right, I'm going to bust out my own number. I'm just going to smack the pad, and we're going to see what DTMF comes up. Okay.
All
right. Well, we're going to get yelled at for this, but we'll get to the recording. Good radio, as you said. Okay, I'm muting. Well, we don't have to mute. I won't even say the call sign this time around.
All right.
We're putting in random DTMF now.
You're a rebel.
I think we have something.
Welcome to WR2ROC, Rochester, located in the Finger Lakes region of Western New York State.
Hey, there we go.
Yeah, Rochester, New York, baby. Oh, yeah, do you want to play a game?
Oh, man. Oh, that would be pimp.
That was a, yeah, hell yeah, dude. War Games IRLP. You picked a winner, dude. You picked a good one.
Yeah, all right, well, I'm going to close this thing because I don't hear people talking, then I'm just going to close it.
All right. Now it's zero to connect and one to break it down, right?
No plus zero to connect, no plus one. I don't even know what DTM I've put over, shit. I'm trying to stamp the, there we go, okay.
Close down.
WR to RLC, Rochester, link off.
There we go.
Link off.
Link off, baby.
Hell yeah. Dude, you are the shizak.
Exactly.
Okay, listeners. Go to your local ham fests. Get your ham license. Go to Radio Shack.
Another ham, a lot of ham radio fests have their license in place on site.
Right. That's where I got mine, in a ham fest.
Exactly. There you go.
So, check it out. I know, go on the internet, search for your city, your state, and ham radio, and you'll find something.
Go to
AARL.org.
AARL.org. AARL.org. There's another site called QRZ, as in zebra, .com. That site, if you look around, you're going to find call sign lookups. If you ever think, all right, guess there's some other popular hackers that are also ham radio operators. Kevin Mitnick, for one.
Yep.
That guy was big. You know, if you type in Kevin Mitnick, he's got about 2,100 lookups.
Yeah. Bernie S.
He's one in there too. I checked him. He's in there.
Yeah, and hello, Emmanuel Goldstein plays with RF all the time. So.
I don't know about him, though. I don't know. I haven't checked him.
I don't know if he's a ham,
ham radio.
Yeah, but he talks about RF all the time, like going up to Canada and getting scanners and, you know, playing with different radios.
Yeah, you might.
You know, that's another thing. Yeah, I don't know if he's a ham, but there's another thing. All right, let's say you want to mess around with RF technology, but you don't, you know, have the money or the time or the desire to get your ham license. Get a shortwave radio.
Yeah, those are fun, too. You know, I mean, you can take up, out of nowhere newscasts, you know. We have these intercom systems that run over the power lines in our house. You pick those up, my friend. Great. You got to break this down for the best radio guy that does not have a ham radio license. His name is Etox. He's coming out of Chicago. He's actually moving to Los Angeles. But this guy, he started like when he was six.
Wow.
Messing with electronics, just breaking it all down. This guy is like the most knowledgeable person that I know about radio ever. I mean, this guy, he busted out. Like, we asked him, like, do you know the frequency? Do you have any idea how to pick up the intercoms? He's like, oh, yeah, that's like 300, that's like 300 kilohertz on here. You got a scan, you got a shortwave? He picked it up. Boom.
Yeah.
Like, damn.
That is
good.
Cool.
And, I mean, this guy, he put discriminator tap on my scanner, which is a way so you can decode the digital frequency, the digital stuff, like
right.
OTSEG, Flex, a bunch of other stuff. He put that in, he busted it out, he soldered it all. This guy's insane. He's built, you know, the X10 cameras?
Yeah.
They run over 2.4G, no relation to 802.11b, by the way. This is all totally. He built a. He is a receiver, and there's four channels that run on that. He built, well, just basically a thing that flips through all the channels. He put that on there. He has seen. All right, I can't say the bank. He's gotten the tapes. You know how they cycle through cameras?
Right.
The tape recordings of those bank in Chicago.
Wow.
He's gotten. He's seen a lot of wax. Oh, remember, you know the Real World? They used to be in Chicago. He got them.
No kidding.
He drove up. He realized it was the Real World. He taped that. They almost stopped him, by the way. That's a long story. They almost are like, what the hell are you doing here?
Yeah, I've read stories about that. People would drive around. You basically go by those the TV receivers and then build a specialized antenna for it, and you can drive around and pick that stuff up.
He built an enclosed box out of a Radio Shack project box that produces the flipping. Actually, it's just a thing that just flips, and you can flip anything. You can flip over. It's just basically a security thing that just would flip channels, flip inputs.
Right.
Oh, it's really cool.
Multiplex.
I haven't been hit with him doing that, but my friends have done it. He's picked up cops eating pizza at a pizza parlor. He's had a lot of stuff. It's really, when you see his recordings, it is amazing what he's picked up with it.
And I'd like to see what this stuff does, what this guy does, man.
Yeah, this guy, he's amazing. We are so sad because he's moving out to Los Angeles. We are like, good God, why do you have
to... Lord, don't leave us.
Dude, he would be so awesome. He is like, the best. And then I'm asking him, like, you know, what do you think about this tone dial? He's like, bust out like six links and how to get like parts and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, I see, you know, once you get into this stuff, and once you like start building circuits, you're gonna be looking at, like, textfiles.com, like, whoa, cool, I need the ICs for that. And you're like, it's gonna be like discontinued in the 80s and the 70s when this stuff was popular. You usually find that stuff really, you can find that stuff on websites. It's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, don't discount those 80s text files, because that could be inspiration for a lot of new projects.
Blue box, you know, like it's like a blue box, white box, bunch of different codes. It's in there. I checked it out. I found every single part for it.
Cool.
And every single part, it's got like, oh, it's some wacky parts. Found all the parts for them. But I'm going to build that. That's going to be some money, but I'm going to build that. So.
Cool. Yeah, let us know, dude.
Yeah, put that up. Put the plans up.
I want you to keep us informed about IRLP and your projects.
Next to HackerMind, you will be the number one source.
Hell yeah.
I got my start at HackerMind on Han 1, if anyone's listening to HackerMind.
You were on Han 1?
I was on Han 1, baby. At the end when they
called Han 1 was better than Han 2, dude. There's no doubt.
Han 2, I was host for 20 minutes.
No shit.
Yeah, he was like, yeah, we're just going to leave now. So he, like, muted the phone and out me, and the whole conference line was on. Was hosting the show.
Does anybody go on the con line anymore?
Sometimes. Yeah. I mean, I guess before I listened to it, they used to take calls, but now since they're fairly popular, they like 50 people were in the chat room last time on two. Wow. They don't do like questions anymore, but yeah, sometimes they just call it up for fun.
Yeah, I think everybody should start checking out the HackerMind con line a lot more.
Exactly. You know what I mean? You just pick up whatever. I mean, you could just do. Sometimes you call it up. Sometimes whoever's on there. A lot of popular thing that we started was me and my friend Kamikaze. We started up calling it right after shows. People would start talking.
Yeah, the new show's coming out the 20th, correct?
20th. So this Friday, we're gonna bust out on Rant Radio. Whatever you're tuning to right now, tune again at 9:00.
That's right. Oh, they're gonna stream it.
Yeah, they're gonna stream it. He said the file was humongous.
Oh,
he's gonna
dump
it over to the guys at Rant Radio.
It's 2 hours, man.
2 hours. 2 fucking hours of, like, edited radio.
Oh, it is.
Exactly.
The best stuff, right on. Yeah, well, maybe I'll hop on the con line after that show.
Yeah, it'd be like, what, 10:00 your time? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I might do that. I'm not sure. It'll be a Friday night. Hell yeah. All I'm gonna do, bust on the con line, make a little bike ride, as you well put it,
hell
around
yeah.
The neighborhood.
Exercise and freaking, all in one.
Exercise and you know, jumping around into big green bins, but we won't get into that.
Yes, we just we read about that. Yeah.
Yeah, we were like, you know, like, you know, big, yeah, I mean,
heard about that.
Yeah.
Hey, by the way, have you hit that dumpster CO?
Not yet. I'm going to do that either Friday so I can just run over there, you know.
Right on, dude.
And I think my friend said, you know, a lot of the smaller stuff. I'm hoping there's going to be something that's going to be cool. Hoping they're not going to get busted for it. Hoping. I'm going to have a great... As a grifter, I think I'd give him, like, the cool guy award, because he set up the Salt Lake City ones.
Yeah.
Salt Lake City 2600. He wrote an article on dumpster diving. He says, bring cardboard boxes. I think that might save my life this time around, to bring a cardboard box, saying I'm looking for boxes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I've done. You don't even need that. Like, I got caught once. I think I said this on the show. I got caught once, and I just by this guy, and I just said, "Oh, I was looking for a soccer ball, you know, or I'm looking for wire for a school project, a school electronics project." You don't even need boxes, but you know, just be quick on your feet, quick thinking.
Social engineering, babe. That's all it is. I did it today.
That's right.
For tone dial, I say, "Oh man, I'm at my mom's house. She only has rotary phones. I need to call up the bank. You know, you got any tone dialers?" He said, "No." Got lucked out there.
Oh man, have them. If you go to Radio Shack, everybody go to Radio Shack. They're clearing them out if they have any more, and ask them if they have them. If they don't, ask them to check local area Radio Shacks. It's all on their computers. They can check everything in their area, or their district, I think they call it. So don't give up.
Yeah, don't give up on those. They have when I was there today, they have a desktop tone dialer.
Now, is that an auto dialer or a tone dialer?
Don't know. I looked at it briefly.
Really?
Here's this desk. I don't know. I think it's it might be you program the DTM, you program it, it's not
right.
Handheld. It's plugged into the wall.
Oh, okay, yeah. Even if it's battery powered, carrying around this, like, big box, you know, putting up the base.
Well, when I modify mine, my mind's going to be bust out with this nice little red button on top.
Very nice.
As soon as I can do it, I got to get my tone dialer first.
Dude, Rax?
Tomorrow on Friday.
Rax, are you still there?
I'm here, man.
Holy shit, you poor guy. Hey, all right, mute, all right, this is cool and all, but let's, Rax has got a few things, actually some very important things.
Yeah, all right, Rax has a floor.
That's right.
Yeah, well, we got a, I don't know if you're watching the time. I didn't see when we got started here, but...
I got the time. We're getting pretty close. If we run over, that's cool.
Yeah, well, there's a couple things. One was a big one this weekend where apparently someone was using, it's supposed to be the first account of it, where someone was using a an online merchant's credit card account, all signed by VeriSign, which is all nice and good and everything, but they ran about 62,000 charges of about $5 a piece, $5.07 a piece, out through this thing, and basically they figured it, they said it processed 140,000 phony charges, but 62,000 of those were good. So they ran about 200,000 transactions through, and they figure it was basically looking for valid credit card numbers.
Holy shit.
They were going to do later with that. Yeah.
Right. So basically, criminals were brute forcing credit card numbers using a weakness in VeriSign's e-tailer software.
Yep. And the one that I read about, you know, I had to say that they picked one for an example was, what was it, TalkingTP.com. Well, I had to go and check it out, and what it is a toilet paper roll that you can record your own little voice on there.
Well, that's classy.
Yeah, I mean, it was showing, like, little bubbles coming out, like, hey, flush the toilet, or will you marry me? So wouldn't it be nice?
Yeah.
I'm just talking to the guys out there listening now, but, you know, you want to impress your girl, you know.
That's right.
You get this talking toilet paper thing, I mean, guaranteed slam dunk success. Not. Don't do it, man.
You don't have to buy this talking toilet paper, please.
Yeah. But, so we had that. Of course, the, you know, the big Linux virus that's working on Apache now.
Mm.
Anyone out there, if you haven't heard about this by now, shame on you, but check your build. It was with the mod SSL add-in, so if you're using that, check to, you know, dig into things, check out, see what you've got going.
Yeah, I think that's called Slapper, isn't it?
Yeah, the Slapper worm.
Yeah.
And they figured, like, over 10,000 systems have been done, and it's able to launch, people, I guess, are able to launch distributed denial-of-service attacks with that. And then the big thing this week, now this is interesting, and Dual and I were talking about this before the show, but Windows Service Pack, Windows XP Service Pack,
ooh,
1 is out, and it's been, you know, out just sometime last week, and there is this monster-ass hole that was known about since June. And it took them that long to do something about. But the curious part is everyone in the community basically kept it quiet. And if you would go to, people could put this in their web pages. But basically, the long and the short of it is, someone could build a web page. If you had XP, you clicked on this, it could delete files off your hard drive.
They did that on screensavers. If anyone watches Tech TV,
they did it there as well, right?
Yeah, he said this is now watches everyone, and he deleted a whole. He killed a computer. On live TV.
Yeah, deleted. They did it twice. They killed one, and they went off to, I guess, Chris Perillo's machine and deleted the Windows directory with that.
Was it? I think it was a 98 box, though.
Yeah, it doesn't actually really matter.
Okay.
You know, it's just a killer.
Okay, pardon my disbelief here, but just by clicking on a specially crafted URL, you can wipe out an entire directory.
You're right.
Yep.
Okay, that's so okay.
Now, the thing
lovely.
Is, and again, that was known since about June, and they kept it quiet.
For 3 months.
If you're in that kind of situation and you can't get it for whatever reason, you know, it's in school or it's, you know, in business and you can't do it or you can't get a hold of the download, go to Gibson Research Corporation, GRC.com, and he has a little program he's written. It's called Expedite, X-P-D-I-T-E, and that'll take care of it. It's a quick fix for taking care of that. But keep a check out on Gibson's site. He's one of my heroes in IT. And he always comes out with cool little free programs and figuring out things.
That guy's awesome.
And
yeah,
along with
shit.
Analog X.
Yeah.
And they bust out some awesome stuff.
That
absolutely.
Guy's in Phoenix, by the way. And he's been on the screensavers a couple of times.
Yeah.
He does some really, really tight stuff, really tight code for Win32. In fact, I use article I wrote about Chief 802.11 network uses a couple of his programs, Proxy and Port Blocker. He writes really good stuff. All right, Rats, there's something else we talked about. Sprint has been basically cleared of any wrongdoing in the Vegas phone hack cases. I've been following this on Security Focus. You know, Kevin Mitnick, it has everything. It's got hookers, it's got hackers, it's got mafioso. It's a great story. It's basically an adult entertainment owner, you know, a guy basically who runs a call girl shop.
Vegas, where it's legal.
In
so.
Vegas, that's right. Was apparently having all his calls calls going to his number diverted to his competitors.
That's what he alleged.
And So they had a big trial, and it was really exciting. Kevin Mitnick was there, and he was testifying, and he said, "Oh yeah, you know, yeah, I used to own it. In fact, I've got proof." And you know, and he ran out to a storage locker that's been in, you know, hibernation for 5 years, and came back with a dog-eared piece of paper. It just had all the excitement you could ask for, and Sprint was basically, you know, cleared of any wrongdoing. They said, "Oh, there's security. Yeah, sure, it may be bad, but our bad security is." No reason, you know, is not the reason of your bad business, so.
At least, you know, at least they took steps to try to do it because someone could circumvent it. Well, that's another story, but they at least proved that they tried to take steps to prevent that.
Right, right. So I feel sorry for this gentleman who owns the adult entertainment business, but you didn't win. It might just be, you know, big lawyer, little lawyer, but regardless, it was very exciting to read, and it's come to a close. I hope everybody followed that. I'm sure you can get the old articles. Just go to securityfocus.com and read them.
They accused Mitnick?
No.
Mitnick was testifying.
Oh. Expert witness.
I see what's going on. So he was saying that, you know, this is possible. And the statute of limitations had run out, so he wasn't, you know, in danger of being...
So he could say, oh, I did all this stuff beforehand, and it doesn't make a difference.
Right. I mean, because, you know, he was in jail for a long enough time, but I guess it's 5 years or something with the statute of limitations.
Mm-hmm.
So he could admit to doing all this stuff. And, you know, without any worry of repercussions
that's
being thrown into the can.
Well, I mean, that's actually really good for him now because he's basically clean. Unless he's done something.
Right, right. And you know what they said? I think they said something to the effect that, well, big deal, Kevin. You owned every switch in every town you've ever been in, so what's the big deal? You know, we're not different than anybody else. I think something to that effect. Read the article. Very exciting. Great story. I mean, I just heard on Off the Hook Tonight... that Kevin Mitnick is publishing a book about social engineering, and it's coming out in about a month.
Oh, damn.
That's right. That's going to be a good book. Apparently, Manuel said he was reading it. Supposedly a very good book, so check that out when it comes out.
Is it like his adventures, or is it like this is social engineering?
I think that's what it is. I think it's both, actually. I hope it's both, because I would love to hear about his adventures.
Like him, like, going up to phone companies or whatever, and like, yo, I need this, and... Or bust out, like, banks? Oh, man.
Yeah, I hope it's both. I've actually started to write an article, Practical Examples of Social Engineering, stuff I've done, stuff that I've seen, like Emmanuel at H2K2, you know, posing as tech support. And I've got, you know, categories like what you can do at hotels, what you do at retail outlets, how you can pose as technical support, how you can call technical support and fake them out, you know. So, I know Kevin's book's going to be awesome, and I hope it's both of what you said, Mute. His adventures, his real-life stories, as well as, you know, well, a how-to.
And he can talk about anything now because of the statute of limitations.
Yeah, that's right.
Plus, if it happened that no one knows about.
I think he still has till January before his parole is completed.
That's when he can touch a computer.
Right on the new 2003.
Yeah. That's when you can start using computers again, is that correct?
Exactly. On January 1st, 12 o'clock in 1 second.
Unbelievable.
You can go out to Best Buy and go buy a computer, or just go to the library and put his hands on the keyboard.
That is just crazy. That is just the craziest shit ever, you know?
Yeah, no. He said, in Owen, did you guys see Owen at H2K2?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he was like, if I touch this computer right now, he's like, I'm in BioPro. He, like, standing right next to a Radio Shack computer or something.
Yeah.
They had him on as a special agent on there was a TV show for a while called the CIA, and they had him on as a special agent, and they had law enforcement officials there to make sure any of the computers he used were props, not real computers.
Yeah, alias.
You're shitting me.
Yep. Yeah.
The computer police.
Even for a TV show, it had to be a prop.
Unbelievable. Like those cardboard computers you find at, like, rent-to-own places and shit like that? All right. I'm going to end the show on the gift, man. My gift to freaks everywhere, aspiring freaks, hackers, anybody who wants to mess with phones, I'm going to give it to you. Well, first, I can't three-way. I'm already three-way. Son of a bitch. That's okay. I don't have to do it. No. Stay on.
Okay.
We're going to... Oh, shit. I wanted to do something. Fuck it. I'll just read it off. I want people to explore the phone system. I want people to mess with phones, play with phones wherever you go, from your house, in the public, like me, you ride your bike around your neighborhood, go to local payphones, you know, have some fun. But how are you going to do that? Sometimes, you know, you don't want to break the law. You know, you don't want to spend any money. You know, you don't quite know what to do yet. Well, you know what? I'm going to give something to everybody out there, all the listeners. I am going to give to my listeners basically a phone card with about 500 minutes on it. I think it's about 500 minutes. I was going to three-way and call this. There's about 500 minutes on this MCI prepaid phone card that I bought dirt cheap. And I'm going to give it to you guys. I'm going to give it to all listeners. So don't be a dick and use it all up calling your girlfriend, you know, two states away. You know, just, you know, think of something you want to do. Use a number and try it out, you know. Mess around with ANI. Mess around with caller ID. You know, do something cool. You know, do a conference call. You know, call the HackerMind conline.
As a matter of fact, Duel, it'll be good, you know, for some months to mess around with caller ID. We've got that article up on the site about doing that.
Yeah, we've got Quest has a thing called Security Screen. Well, read the article. It's called Spoofing Caller ID with Quest Security Screen. It's not secure in the least. Check it out at oldschoolfreak.com, the text files page. So, and you can do this too. You got some new service that your telco rolled out. Well, you know what? You can use this calling card and try it. Especially if you want to try something specialized in another exchange.
Wonder how long that card's going to last.
I don't know. I'm going to be curious. I'm going to be checking it. I'll just check the minutes, but I'm going to give it to everybody. Now, first, and this is actually this will be good for our international listeners too. So, international listeners, get your pens and paper ready. Okay. First, I'm going to give you the U.S. information. Dial this number. Actually, I think. Okay, the number is good for both. You're going to have to know the country code, which is one for the U.S., and you dial 800-325-0604. Again, that number is 1-800-325-0604. Now, when you're overseas, you dial the country-specific toll-free number, and that's 01 and that 800 number. Then you enter the world service code, which is 20. And then you enter the PIN. And the PIN for both the USA and overseas is 02194-80968. Again, the PIN is 02194-80968. Now, this is a totally legitimate card, all right? This is a card I bought. I've used up a little bit of it. Oh, shit, I just threw it away. Oh, fuck, just went under some shit. There it is. Okay, I bought it legitimately with cash. It's a good card. I know there's about 500 minutes left on it. I've been using my phone hog minutes, personally.
I read about that phone hog thing you did.
Yeah?
I signed up to disable my account.
Why?
Just sign it up. I signed up for, like, every single free service possible.
And they disabled your account?
Every time I log in, I did it, like, I waited a day. And
right.
I just let the spam settle down a little.
Right.
And it said, your account has been disabled.
No way.
And I'm like, God damn it, I wanted free phone calls.
Maybe you can do it too much, apparently.
Maybe too many minutes. I never used it.
Right. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You did it too much, you got too many minutes. I said, screw you, buddy.
Yeah, I'm going to do it again.
Yeah, get it, just make another identity. Yeah, the phone hog works really well. That's what I've been using lately.
How many minutes usually?
Usually I float about 30, 35 minutes.
I spent about 100, I think, that's why.
Did you? Yeah, maybe so.
I think they have a limit. I think they actually just have a disable limit, I bet.
Hey, there we go. We found out something new tonight.
There you go.
So use this phone card, do some freaking. I'll tell you, get out there and have some adventures, and this should allow you to be more flexible with your adventures. So, and don't be a dick, don't hog it, don't be a phone hog, pardon the pun, and let other people have some fun.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, Wintermute. Thank you so much for being on the show. That was very exciting stuff.
Yeah, I'm on.
You are the shizat.
Exactly.
Mute is in the hizat.
You know, I gotta tell everyone what the closing music is gonna be.
The closing music.
Is an original
by a new famous artist on the scene. His name is
Rax.
That's right. Rax is now composing music. Art. He's got art on the site, and now he's got music for the show. Do you got a name for the song?
Yeah, it's just called Stuff One.
Stuff One.
Composer.
Very apropos. Very apropos. The opening music, by the way, was Glassjaw, one of my faves in the analog world. I've actually been really getting into the industrial, thanks for around radio, V&V Nation. Actually, I listened to another industrial internet station. They had a live V&V Nation concert, and that was so cool. I love that. So VNV Nation, Icon of Coil, who else? Like Strom Current, I love them. So check out Industrial if you're not into it already. All right, Wintermute again. Thanks a lot, man.
Mm-hmm.
And Rax, I'll see you soon.
And closing thoughts, everyone. Go and get your license, Ham Radio Tech.
Go and use that phone card and do some freaking.
And I'll stick with my fave, keep knowledge free.
Good night, everybody. I'm gonna go get some more.